choosing the Voice of America. Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Baylor Bears, who mauled the Gonzaga Bulldogs Monday night to win their first national title in U.S. men's college basketball. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Baylor claimed its first national title with a dominating 86-70 performance against previously unbeaten Gonzaga. The Bears got off to a quick 19-point lead and never looked back, going up by 20 in the second half. They had a 38-22 rebounding advantage, including 16 offensive boards. Jared Butler led the champs with 22 points.
It's just electrifying, especially in that type of moment in a big game, you know, and everybody stepped up. Like, everybody was, you know, on clicking on all cylinders. Like, that's what it takes to win.
How good was Baylor in the tournament? The Bears won six games by an average margin of 15 points and finished the season 28-2. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. Gonzaga was the first team to go all the way to the final unbeaten and then lose since Larry Bird and Indiana State in 1979. Our VOA basketball fans will remember Bird and Indiana State lost in the final to Magic Johnson and Michigan State 75-64. Meanwhile, Gonzaga's head coach says Baylor was definitely the better team on Monday night. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
Gonzaga's quest for its first national title fell short as the Bulldogs lost to Baylor 86-70. It's the second time in 4 years that Coach Mark Few and the Zags have lost in the championship game.
It's a really, really tough one to end a storybook season on. But listen, Baylor just they just beat us. They beat us in every facet of the game tonight and deserve all the credit.
The Bulldogs got down 19 points in the first half and then never got closer than 9. Gonzaga was looking to complete the first undefeated season since Indiana did it in 1976. Instead, they end up 31-1. I am Mark Myers.
Sporty greetings. My name is Ronald Alalibo, the vice captain of River Supers Basketball Club of Port Harcourt. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronald, and good luck to Rivers Hoopers as they prepare for their first season in the Basketball Africa League.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall has been talking with the Voice of America about the BAL's inaugural season next month in Kigali, Rwanda. The 12-team tournament will take place from May 16th to May 30th at the 10,000-seat Kigali Arena, which opened in 2019. However, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the BAL is expected to limit attendance in the arena. In an interview with VOA in Johannesburg, Amadou said he believes basketball will continue to attract new fans in Africa.
Everything we've seen over the past few decades since we've been in Africa, since the NBA, you know, have been coming and working at grassroots level to develop the sport, we have no doubt, and everybody recognizes the, you know, tremendous amount of talent that the continent has. You know, players from Africa have been having major impact, you know, not only in the NBA, but also in the NCAA. And today, I mean, these days we are the March Madness, the annual college basketball tournament taking place with, you know, many African players in multiple elite college rosters. So, you know, the talent has always been there. The interest in the sport is there. You know, I think through all the grassroots events that we conduct, the junior NBA programs we've launched in multiple countries. You know, we see that there is interest among the youth. I think having a professional league right here on the continent that is going to play in prime time, that is going to be broadcasted to viewers across the African continent and around the world, is going to add another, layer in terms of spotlighting the popularity of basketball on the continent. We've seen the fan base grow. NBA games are in multiple platforms across the continent, right here in South Africa through ESPN, our partner, and ETV. You know, and you go in the Francophone countries, it's broadcasted on Canal Plus, and we recently, the NBA Africa has recently signed a partnership in Kenya. That is, the games are broadcasted on free to air, and we're getting, you know, tremendous feedback from that. So the fan base has steadily grown. So we are, you know, really excited about the opportunity to continue to even grow that more.
As Amadou Gallo Fall and the Basketball Africa League continue their efforts to grow the sport on the continent, Amadou realizes COVID-19 protocols will need to be followed in Kigali next month.
That's a primary focus, you know, is really to make sure that we launch the league in a safe environment, both in terms of, you know, security and health of all the stakeholders involved, the players, the coaches, all the team personnel. And the good news is the NBA have conducted, you know, I think 3 bubbles with the end of finishing last season in Orlando and the Disney campus, and then the G League has also finished their season, the G League most recently. So we have all that experience, and also our partner FIBA have organized qualifiers last November and then most recently in February, you know, using an environment that is really very controlled. You know, it's a bubble with consistent testing and making sure that all the measures that the Global Health Organization and national health organizations prescribe. So, you know, I'm confident that we'll be able to play in that safe environment. Ideally, you know, if the conditions permit, we will have limited spectators, but it's all going to depend on where the pandemic is. You know, we are seeing encouraging signs, but at the same time, we're going to have protocol that is going to ensure that we can play this inaugural season, you know, in the safest way possible to safeguard the safety of all the people involved. And if we are able to have fans, even at limited capacity, we will look at that.
That's Basketball Africa League President Amadou Gallo Fall. And he was speaking with the Voice of America in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Clyde Joe, an African football analyst. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Dallas Mavericks beat the visiting Utah Jazz 111-103 to snap Utah's 9-game winning streak. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Luka Doncic scored 31 points and Dorian Finney-Smith added a season-high 23 as the Mavericks stopped Utah's nine-game winning streak, 111-103. Jalen Brunson scored 20 points and the Mavs led by as many as 18 in their season-high fifth win in a row. Dallas won for the first time in three games versus Utah this season, despite Kristaps Porzingis, the Mavericks' number two scorer and leading rebounder, sitting out with a sprained right wrist. Mike Conley scored 28 points to lead the Jazz, who fell to an NBA best 38-12. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. After his 31-point night against Utah, Luka Doncic had this to say.
Any NBA team can beat you, so every win is a confidence here. Obviously, this one, they're first in the West or second. So obviously, it's a big win. And we just got to keep rolling like this.
In a matchup between two New York City-based NBA teams, the Brooklyn Nets edged the New York Knicks 114-112. Kyrie Irving had a game-high 40 points for Brooklyn. Talk to us, Kyrie!
First half, Reggie Bullock gets it going. Few guys get, you know, some makeable shots, and they didn't feel us at all. You know, a few guys felt good, and then we made a difference in the second half and influenced some misses. And, you know, luckily, a few bounces went our way, and we got on a run.
Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets improved their record to 35 wins and 16 losses. That's the best record in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks, meanwhile, saw their record drop to 25 victories and 26 defeats.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigers, Nigerian women's national team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
And to quote Shaka, from the deepest better part of the bottom of my heart, I want to give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Shaka Sali for a memorable career at the Voice of America. Shaka is planning to retire at the end of May.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In Olympic news, five Nigerian wrestlers qualified for the Tokyo Games at a recent tournament in Tunis, Tunisia. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye called Tunis, where he reached the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, 2000 Olympic champion Daniel Igali.
We are at the Oceania Africa Olympic qualifying tournament in Tunisia. Nigeria came with four athletes. One of us got injured, Blessing Oyebuchi, in the 76-kilogram class, got injured with very little time to make changes. So we, instead of five, we came with four. And out of the four, three of them qualified for the Olympics. Idris Khadijat, in the 50-kilogram class, qualified. She's a 19-year-old. This is going to be her first Olympics. And in fact, this is her first senior competition. Amina Adeni is a two-time Commonwealth Games gold medalist and a five-time African champion and an Olympian. She was a 2016 Olympian, and she yet again qualified in the 62-kilogram class. Blessing Oborodudu is a 10-time African champion, a Commonwealth Games champion, and currently ranked number two in the world. She qualified in the 68-kilogram class. Recall that our current world number two, Oduanyo Adekoroye, had qualified by virtue of winning a bronze medal at the last World Championships in 2019. So currently, Nigeria has four female athletes that have qualified for the Olympics out of six.
Can you also tell Sunny Side of Sports listeners how the male wrestlers performed at the tournament?
We presented five male athletes in the 57 kilograms, Ibiko and Mo Wilson at the 65 kilograms, Amas Daniel at 74, Ekrekeme Ogionwo at 74, John Emmanuel at 86, Ekrekeme Ogionwo, and at 97 kilograms, we had Susu Tamara. We had a good competition, but we had one qualifier. So Ekrekeme Ogionwo at 86 kilogram class, won his weight class and qualified for the Olympics.
What's your assessment of Team Nigeria's outing in the Africa Oceanic qualifiers?
Overall, I thought this was a very well-planned competition. In spite of the very short time Tunisia had to take over the sponsorship of this competition from Morocco, Al Jadida, within this very short period of time, they were able to put up a phenomenal tournament. I really want to appreciate the United World Wrestling Africa and the Tunisia Wrestling Federation for putting up a wonderful competition. The officiating was very fair. Everything went very well. And by the grace of God, we are coming back home with five qualified athletes for the Olympics, which is not an easy feat. And I'm really glad for the performances of our athletes.
That's Daniel Igali, the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation. And Daniel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tunis, Tunisia.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igali, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Now let's go to Gambia, where a conference was held to revive wrestling in the country. Joining us now with more details is Pandari Mbai. Sporty greetings, Pandari.
Sporting greetings to you, Sonny. Stakeholders at a two-day conference held at the Upper River region of the Gambia have expressed concern about what they call the country's declining wrestling sector. They felt that this important sector has been neglected. Sambaba is the governor of the Upper River region.
We all know wrestling used to happen in our bantabas. Villages used to organize wrestling in a bantaba where the communities around will come that particular night and have wrestling in that particular place. Let's ask ourselves, is that happening now? And if it is not happening now, why is it not happening and what do we do in order to revive it?
The European Union has decided to come to the aid of the Gambia Wrestling Association, said an official of the Gambia Chamber of Commerce. The EU has chipped in financially to help revive the sector.
It's a grant amounting up to 500,000 euros, and the GCCI was selected as the lead coordinator for the project. The project has three components. One component is on improving the local handicraft sector. The second component is on improving local wrestling.
Serigne Modou Faye is the president of the Gambia Wrestling Association. Like other stakeholders, Faye felt that traditional wrestling hasn't been given the attention it deserves. He thinks other sporting sectors are being given special preferences.
In the whole country, you will see everywhere you go, a football pitch is constructed. And at the end, you see these councils, you see SESDO or SUESDO, which governs the whole sporting fraternity. But in terms of wrestling, it is also like wrestling is not part of sports because the charges that they charge wrestling, it looks like it's an independent sport being part of that group.
Fode Danjo, the chairman of the Base Area Council, said plans are underway to address some of the concerns raised by FAI.
Galga presently is in the process of providing lands for all the arenas to be constructed in the country. Already, Base Area Council had already got two lands for arenas, and the third one also is already almost confirmed, which is going to be at the Aluma layout, possibly.
Traditional wrestling is a source of entertainment for visiting tourists. Ablai Bojang, the wrestling desk officer at the Ministry of Sports, has underscored the importance of such a sporting sector. He has called for the promotion of wrestling across the country. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Pandering by reporting.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat.
African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat and dumbolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African Club football beat, defending champion Al Ahly of Egypt is through to the quarterfinals of the CAF Champions League tournament. Douglas Mpuga reports.
Defending champions Al Ahly of Egypt needed an injury time equalizer against Al Merrikh of Sudan on Saturday to join Group A winners Simba Sports Club of Tanzania in the quarterfinals. Ahly earned a 2-2 draw away to Al Merrikh and are now second in the group on 8 points with one group game left to play. Simba are Group A winners after securing their place in quarterfinals with a 4-1 win over DR Congo's AS Vita Club. 100,000 fans were allowed into Simba's stadium in Dar es Salaam. Vita Club's defeat follows another DR Congo's club, TP Mazembe, who were also eliminated on Friday. TP Mazembe, who are 5 times winners, were eliminated after losing 2-0 at CR Belouizdad of Algeria. Defeat left Mazembe bottom of Group B on just 2 points with one round of games remaining. Many of Mazembe's players did not return in time from the Africa Cup of Nations duties. Earlier on Friday, already qualified Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa drew 0-0 away to Al Hilal of Sudan in Omdurman in the same group. Sundowns have 13 points, Belouizdad 6, Hilal 4, and Mazembe 2 ahead of the final group matches next Friday. So far, Sundowns, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, Esperance of Tunisia, Simba of Tanzania have reached the quarterfinals. The top 2 teams in each of the 4 groups qualify for the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, the abandoned qualifying game for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations final between Sierra Leone and Benin will now be played in June, according to the Confederation of African Football, CAF. The Group L match was called off ahead of kickoff in Freetown on Tuesday after 5 Benin players received news they had tested positive for COVID-19 and would not be allowed to play. Benin questioned the veracity of those tests and refused to play. Benin only need to draw the match to qualify for the Cup of Nations in Cameroon in 2022, but if Sierra Leone win the game, they will qualify at Benin's expense as they have a better goal difference. And Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau, Mauritania, and Ethiopia confirmed their places at next year's Africa Cup of Nations finals in Cameroon following the final round of qualifying matches on Tuesday. On Monday, Malawi also qualified after beating Uganda 1-0 in their final Group B qualifying match. Uganda was thus eliminated. Uganda's defeat means no East African nation has qualified, as Kenya and Tanzania were already eliminated. Burkina Faso finished with 12 points in the group after beating South Sudan 1-0 in Ouagadougou. Malawi were second with 10 points. All of Monday's other qualifiers had no bearing on qualification, but settled the placings in several groups. Egypt beat Comoros 4-0 to finish the campaign unbeaten, but both teams qualified from Group G, with Comoros qualifying for the first time. Defending champions Algeria beat Botswana 5-0 to top Group H, while Zambia beat Zimbabwe 2-0 in Harare. But Zimbabwe had already qualified, and the 2012 African champion Zambia were thus eliminated. Gabon and the Gambia advanced from Group D, although both lost their final games to Angola and DR Congo, respectively.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is 3-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America. Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. In European club football, Manchester City will host Borussia Dortmund later Tuesday night in a UEFA Champions League quarterfinal match. VOA's Gwen Uden has a preview amid speculation that Man City could be on the brink of breaking their transfer record. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last week, Man City manager Pep Guardiola described the prospect of spending over $100 million to sign a player as impossible. But at a Monday news conference, Guardiola's stance shifted towards the possibility of his club breaking a transfer record.
It's a team. Football is a team game. Like everyone makes his contribution. The guys who doesn't play make incredible contribution, the backroom staff and everyone. So this is a competition. Will not be win for one player. It's for absolutely everyone. So far, the club had decided not to spend not close to 100 million or more than 100 million for one player. Maybe in the future it's going to happen when the club decide it's necessary for improve the team for the next 5-10 years for many reasons. But so far, the club, the organization, the CEO, the sport director decide don't do it, and that's why they didn't do it. But maybe in the future, I don't know.
Guardiola said it's unlikely his club will prioritize the signing of a new striker for next season, despite losing all-time leading scorer Sergio Aguero at the end of the campaign. The British media has speculated that Man City could bring in dormant striker Erling Haaland. Haaland has scored 33 goals for Dortmund in all competitions this season, and Dortmund is reportedly demanding a fee of about $177 million for Haaland. But when asked, Guardiola would not discuss prospects of a future with Haaland.
I understand completely. People ask today and the day before and the day after a week about this Haaland. Of course, he's an exceptional striker. But you will understand that it's not appropriate for me, a player for another club, talk about him.
Well, Guardiola will have a good look at him during his quarterfinal Champions League match on Tuesday. He considers the 20-year-old to be an exceptional player and said Haaland's scoring record speaks for itself.
He just scored this amount of goals. It's not easy to find in the past, honestly. So I think that's 20 years old. With the numbers, it speaks for himself. So when that's happened, it's because he can score to right, left, in the counterattack, in the box, and when you dominate, when you make a counterattacks in the header. So, yeah, he's a fantastic striker. Everybody knows it. So a blind guy who will realize he's a good striker. So it's not necessary to be a manager, you know, to realize of him.
Guardiola might be eyeing prospective players for the future, but he should have no complaints about his current team. Man City are at the top of the Premier League table and are almost certain to clinch the title this season. But despite their domestic success and a spot in the Champions League quarterfinals, Guardiola played down talk that Man City has reached elite status.
We are already a big club. Not team, a big club. Organization, we are already, but of course everyone's here, myself first, the players wanna try to do it better than we have done in this competition through the history from Man City, and especially since we are together. So of course we wanna do it, but for the fact we wanna do it, wanna, we are not going to do it if we don't play good or play better than BFA. So at the end, it's a football game, 11 against 11, unfortunately without the spectators, and we're going to do our game as best as possible.
Meanwhile, opponents Borussia Dortmund are hoping they will bounce back in Tuesday's Champions League match. They're currently fifth in the Bundesliga standings, and their performance has struggled in recent weeks amid sharp criticism from the club's CEO and rumors of the possible departure of top striker Erling Haaland. Ahead of Tuesday's match, Dortmund coach Edin Terzic said, to claim victory, his side must be effective and precise in their offense against Man City and stay on high alert to do the best that they can. After Tuesday's match, Dortmund will host Man City for the return leg of the quarterfinal next week. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the April 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.